from WNYC in New York. This is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield.
And I'm Brooke Gladstone. Aren't you tired of hearing that Congress is broken? I mean, what's Obama doing for our crumbling political infrastructure? That question was posed to the president at Friday's White House press briefing.
Harry Shapiro.
Thank you, Mr. President. You said a few minutes ago, and you've said repeatedly, that the country has to stop careening from crisis to crisis.
Right.
So with a few crises behind us and a few more crises ahead of us, taking a step back from this specific debate over the sequester, how, as the leader of this country, do you plan to stop the country from careening from crisis to crisis?
Well, a couple of things. Number one,
not a bad question exactly, but
sure,
so broad, so just kind of zeitgeisty, the reporter surely knew it wouldn't yield any real information. Then again, as Bob observes in this report, White House press briefings rarely ever do.
Marine One circles in the winter rain and alights on the White House South Lawn, returning from a staged event at a Virginia shipyard to gin up support for the administration's revenue proposals. President Obama decopters and strides purposefully across the soggy grass toward the Oval Office. Witnessing this extremely high-level walking are some 50 observers huddled under umbrellas and making small talk. Cameras click and whir in perfunctory unison. The return leg from Newport News to Washington No News has been duly recorded. Ladies and gentlemen, your White House press corps in action.
The White House is where news goes to die. Everything's canned. These perfectly prepared statements.
It's a prestigious job, Zoe.
It used to be when I was in ninth grade. Now it's a graveyard. The only halfway interesting thing they do is throw a big dinner party once a year where they pat themselves on the back and rub shoulders with movie stars. Who needs that?
That's a particularly resonant bit of dialogue from the Netflix series House of Cards, an inside-the-beltway melodrama in which the conflict tends to be a bit more compelling than the real-life version. On TV, there's lots of skullduggery and drinking and illicit sex. In the White House briefing room, it's mainly talking points.
In anticipation of the meeting Friday, the president did invite four leaders.
In the past week, the press corps' very relevance has been questioned in Slate and also in Politico, which called Obama a puppet master. Guess who are the puppets? That's what I asked CBS White House correspondent Major Garrett, although I chose the slightly less pejorative term, stenographer.
The president has a message. He's the leader of the free world, and his message deserves to be communicated. That is a prerogative of the presidency. Conveying that accurately is not stenography, and I don't consider that beneath me.
The nagging question this week, though, was what has displaced him? Once upon a time, these ink-stained barracudas, whether sardined into their cramped West Wing annex or on the road with the president, represented the only way to efficiently reach the electorate. Those dynamics every now and then did result in some drama, such as the 1974 confrontation between CBS's Dan Rather and President Richard Nixon.
Are you running for something? No, sir, Mr. President, are you?
Tens of millions of people tuned into what were then all three networks gasped at Rather's impertinence. But today's reporters and photographers have been marginalized by a gazillion other channels. Twitter, MySpace, Facebook, the White House's ongoing blog, the Ask Me Anything forum on Reddit, and on TV, not much evening news, but plenty of Live at 5, David Letterman, and The View. The White House is now itself a kind of media house. Ann Compton of ABC News.
They become publishers, they become journalists, they become their own advertising agency.
Never mind one-on-ones with the president, says Compton, who's covering her seventh presidential administration. Most of the time, reporters can't even get access enough to shout out questions at a grip-and-grin session.
We don't cover Oval Office photo ops. We don't cover many of the meetings he has when he meets with people on immigration or gun violence or the fiscal cliff, the meetings with Congress. It's been 6 months since I've even been in the Oval Office on my turn to be the pool member in there. To shut the media out to the extent this administration has, I think, is a disgrace.
And when administration officials do make themselves available, the information is almost always on background, which means nobody's name gets attached to the subsequent story and no official is held accountable.
For Fox News correspondent Ed Henry, the final straw came with an event entirely closed to the press. Okay, it wasn't a summit or a bill signing. Okay, it was a golf game between Obama and Tiger Woods. Nonetheless, in his capacity as president of the White House Correspondents Association, Henry excoriated the administration for Operation Zero Dark 18 Holes, a complaint that White House Deputy Press Secretary Joshua Earnest shrugged off.
Sometimes the president's commitment to engaging with the American public means that there are some members of the White House press corps who get a little frustrated that they're not getting as many interviews as they would like. But at the end of the day, the president's responsibility is not to the members of the White House press corps. It's actually to the American public. That's not the only way that we can fulfill our responsibilities. In order to fulfill his responsibility, to communicate his priorities, the president needs to avail himself of all the opportunities to do that. And that's something that we've done with a lot of success here.
For instance, News Anchor Day. While the captive Washington press corps cooled its heels approximately 20 feet away recently, the president sat down with anchors from 8 local stations from around the country, among them Kevin Ogle of KFOR Oklahoma City, who didn't necessarily go for the jugular.
You know, here I am, some local yokel from Oklahoma City, getting to go up and interview the president, and we had limited time, and so there's not a lot of opportunity to ask follow-up questions, you know, or to take him to task on things.
In other words, no Nixon versus Rather moments?
No, it wasn't like that at all.
Instead, Ogle passed along viewer questions, including one from basketball star Kevin Durant of the Oklahoma City Thunder.
This comes from KD. Putting your loyalty to the Bulls aside, what are your thoughts on Oklahoma City's Thunder basketball team? You know who KD is?
I do. I've had a chance to play with him. He's a great guy. You know, his mother and his grandmother still live in this area.
In contrast, Susan Peters of KAKE Cake Wichita was fairly aggressive in questioning Obama's plan to cut tax exemptions for Kansas's big corporate aircraft industry. That's right after she handed the president a scrapbook she made of his mom's Kansas heritage. I wondered if she thought she and her local colleagues had been fully respected. Did you get the sense that they looked at you, all 8 of you, like 8 Ron Burgundies?
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Bob, you put it very well. Now, I don't know if they looked at us like Ron Burgundies, but I do think the administration, think they can get their message out better through local anchors than through the White House press corps. I do definitely think that.
But she jumped at the opportunity anyway. Who wouldn't?
To be honest with you, it was thrilling. It was thrilling being in the White House interviewing the President of the United States. But the national media, they not only know the questions to ask, but they have the perspective behind the questions that local reporters and local anchors can't have. I would say, you go, White House Press Corps. You are crucial to us. And any attempt to diminish their role, I feel, is completely wrong.
Before I left the briefing room one day this week, I ran into E.J. Dionne, inveterate political analyst for The Washington Post, PBS, and NPR. I asked him if this administration has perfected the end around.
Well, I think all presidents try to get around the press corps, and now there are more opportunities to do it. But there is still a very large share of the population that's going to get its news mediated, no matter how much we talk about the irrelevance of traditional journalism. It's still a big enough audience that they have to worry about it.
Yep, are we ready?
And with that, Dionne went into a briefing about the sequestration showdown for a handful of the press corps. On background, of course. So, no, the lights in the White House briefing room won't be switched off anytime soon. The place still plays an important role.
We think it's as many as 40,000 people will lose jobs.
But to understand how things have changed, one merely needs to look up at the podium. As Jay Carney reads scripted answers to a reporter's question, just behind him, next to the iconic White House seal, hangs a giant flat-screen TV scrolling all the up-to-the-minute headlines. The source? The White House blog.
So, Bob, I noticed you made mention of Fox News' Ed Henry filing a complaint about poor access. Why didn't you put his voice in the piece?
I couldn't do that. We repeatedly sought comment from the president of the White House Correspondents Association on the subject of reporters having access to the president, but President Henry declined to make himself available.
Oh.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.